The middle Sunday of the camp period is always my favorite evening service for a few reasons. One is that there are probably hundreds of people praying for us right now. When you think of all the churches that are represented here and all the parents that are praying for children, and so there's so many people praying for us this evening. I love that when we're down with the boys, thinking of all those that are holding us up in prayer. So it's a favorite, a special time for me. And God is very real. He's in our midst and He's with us. That's something we can be very thankful for. This weekend I've been impressed by a book that I've just started to read. I skipped to the last chapter. It's a hard book. It's written by John Bunyan, so you can imagine. And it's called Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ. It's all based on a verse in John 6. Sister Marie quoted from it before, John 6:37, where Jesus says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out." And John Bunyan spends the first one... I don't know how someone could write so much on one verse. He spends the first 190 pages looking over that verse. I skipped those 190 pages for the most part, and I went straight to the last chapter. And there he shows you how you can apply that verse to yourself. It's called The Doctrine Applied. And he just asks four questions. And as I've been reading those four questions, they've been such a blessing to me that I thought I'd share them with you this evening. Well, there's one question he doesn't ask. Or maybe he does in the first 190 pages. I don't know. Well, one question he doesn't ask in the last chapter is that, do we know how to come to Jesus? I'm sure he mentions that in the first part of his book. But the most important question is that we know how to come to Jesus. And these are questions we won't speak about. Maybe you'll want to examine, or a little self-examination, that we know how to come to Jesus. I've been impressed recently by the parables in Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. You know, when that desperation came, the prodigal son knew where to go, and he knew how to get there. He knew how to return to his father. And so it's right tonight that we are sure that we know how to come to our Father. And I think that should be our first question. Then there's four others that Bunyan asks, and I'll just leave them with you briefly. The first question he says is, what did you leave behind you to come to Jesus? And he gives several examples. Abraham left his country. Ruth left her family. She left her gods. There are more. Paul in Philippians, he talks about how he was blameless under the law. He was righteous, but he left that righteousness. He said, I count that all for loss. In the book of Acts, you see, when Paul visited Ephesus, he spoke to the people there, and there was such conviction that they brought their literature and they burned it. And I believe it was worth, you'll correct me, someone will, 50,000 pieces of silver. Quite a lot for that time. And so the first question is, what do we leave behind us when we come to Jesus? Do we leave our idols, our sin, literature, things of this world that might draw us back? You know, we can't take them along when we come to Jesus. So that's the first question that he asks. And then the second, we could talk about questions 2 and 3 for quite some time. The second one is, what moved you? What moved you to come to Jesus? With the prodigal son, it was starvation. It was hunger, a sense of real desperation. We just sang about it, feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone. Longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. There was that sense of, desperation, I think, that moved the prodigal son to return to his father. And so we can ask ourselves, what moved us to come, to leave all and come to Jesus? And then the third question, what did you see in him that made you come to him? Tonight after, or this afternoon after the prayer meeting, I tried to think of songs. You can find so much in hymns. And I tried to think of songs, and it's a good exercise too. Keeps you sharp. Well, maybe. I tried to find songs that talked about coming. And one of the songs that I came back to, I was sitting in this room once. My Uncle Gordon was ministering and he had us sing Just As I Am. And he said, there's a sixth verse. Where's Matthew? And there I was. He said, what's the sixth verse? And I had no idea. I didn't even know there was a sixth verse. But that night, I found out there was a sixth verse, and there's probably more. I haven't forgotten. But the sixth verse, at least with our hymn books, is, just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yes, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. And so what was it? What did we see in Jesus that made us come to him? This morning, Brother Ernie spoke. He spoke about how we experience God's love. And once we experience God's love, that's what enables us to come to him and then to tell others about him. So there's that love of God that has us come to him. And then Bunyan's fourth question is, what have you found in him since you came to him? And I think we could ask ourselves the same today. Peter said, where else can I go? You have the words of eternal life. I thought it'd be fun to ask for different ones, but I'll tell you the ones that he thought of and that he reminded me of. Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. Jesus said, come unto me. And what do we find when we come unto him? We find rest for our souls. Moses, there was something that Moses found that made him forsake all the treasures of Egypt. David, in Psalm 84, says, one day in God's house is more than 1,000 elsewhere. And we can ask ourselves this evening, have we found those to be true in our lives as well? Do we come and receive God's word? And do we enjoy his presence as we ought? And do we find in him what these men that we read about found in him? Another reason why Sunday night is a special night for me, and some of you, I've said this before, it was the middle Sunday of a third period many years ago when I gave my heart to Jesus here at camp. Brother Ernie was the minister, and he came down. I don't know how they worked that out, but he came and spoke to the boys, and I was in the faithfuls, and I'd been brought up, and I was following Jesus, but it was that night when I guess I realized just how sinful sin is, and God became very real to me that night. There were names of boys in that group that you would recognize. Sam Flincieri and I shared a box of tissues, and there were more. We weren't the only two crying, okay? but there were those that you would remember, and God met us in a real way. And I remember bits and bits of that meeting. I don't remember whether Brother Ernie spoke about the prodigal son or the lost sheep or both. I'm not sure. But I've been in that chapter lately. I've been thinking about this camp season, and, you know, this is an anniversary of sorts. I don't know the exact day, but I know it was that middle Sunday. So I've been thinking of that chapter. And when you look at the prodigal son, you see, when Jesus gave his parables, there was two elements there. One reason Jesus gave his parables was so that we might see ourselves in a measure. And the other reason he gave us his parables was that we might get a greater picture of God. And when you look at the prodigal son, I've been so impressed by the picture of the Father that we see there. And just for tonight, the thing that has impressed me most, I believe, is that God is a very generous God. When the prodigal son returned, and we could talk about how he was received and the celebration, the rejoicing, but when his elder brother came in from the fields and went to the father and may have complained a little, that father looked at the older son and said, all that I have is yours. And I suppose it could take an eternity to really understand what that means, that all that God has is ours. But there are a few things that we can focus our attention on. And if you would take your Bibles, I'd like to look at just a few verses with you. When we come to God, we receive a very full Savior, full Christ. He's full of grace and love. If you turn, we'll just read a few verses. In Romans 5, beginning in the 6th verse, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." What a wonderful picture of God's love. And when we come to him, we receive that love and that grace, and it's full measure. Here's another. We read in the Bible that God is full of truth, that he's faithful. The Bible tells us that God cannot deny himself. And you know many promises in the Bible that we can claim tonight. In the afternoon prayer, someone prayed that we know that God is with us. That's a promise in his word. I thought of the promise where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. There's another promise that we have. And we could, I'm sure there are many more that are on the tips of your tongues. But God is full of truth. It says in Psalm 119, it says, thy law is truth, thy word is truth. Right? And so we can trust our God. He's full of truth. And we can claim his promises. He's full of wisdom. If you turn in 1 Corinthians, to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 30th verse, speaking of God, "He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption." We come to a God who is full of wisdom. And we can rest in his sovereignty. That was another theme that came up this afternoon. God is sovereign. He's in control. And we can trust him because he's a wise God. In Titus, if you turn with me to Titus 3, and we'll look at the 5th and 6th verses, maybe the 4th too, 4, 5, and 6. "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." God gives us the Holy Spirit richly, a fullness, and the Holy Spirit reveals God to us in a greater way. There's another thing that we receive when we come. You read in other places that, where is it? Here, I'll read it. In John 1, the 16th verse, "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Those are the things that we probably don't have time to mention, right? There's more love, more faith, more humility. God gives that to us as we come to him. And then the last one for this evening, and if you wanted, you could look in, well, let's do it, in Lamentations 3. God is full of compassion. The 22nd verse, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." And then 23 as well, "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." God is full of compassion. He's able to bear our weaknesses. He's touched by our sickness. He's able to forgive our sins, our transgressions. He's able to love us freely. There's a lot of good memories of Sunday evening services here at camp. And for some reason, before supper, I was reminded of a boy who we had down in the village once during the fourth period. His name was Dennis Lynn. No relation to anyone here. And he was something else. He was a handful. He was, actually, that year, Nonantum was a handful. Natick too. And we had we had some real difficult campers. This was 10 years ago. Now we have angels, and I mean that. They're really terrific. But about 10 years ago, we had some boys that really gave us a hard time. And one boy, we eventually had to, he had to go home because of his behavior. And it was a hard week. It was a really hard week, mostly because, well, I had the chance to get to know some of these boys. They were given to me. And it was a battle. And I remember how Nonantham just seemed so hard-hearted. They were a rough group. And that night, it rained a little like this, that Sunday evening. And sure enough, walking to meeting, a boy slipped, and he hurt his ankle. And so my cousin Andrew had to take him to the nurse, and then Andrew was busy. And so I was left with a meeting. And I remember bits and pieces of what we talked about that meeting. Our theme song that year was "Who Is on the Lord's Side," and what a great song for young men to learn and sing. It was really, they could sing. They were great. That they could do. And so we talked a little bit about leadership, and we looked at some more modern stories of real leaders. We looked at John Paul Jones. "Sir, do you surrender? I have not yet begun to fight." Now, what made him a good leader? We looked at Willis Reed. Any of you know who Willis Reed is? I shouldn't, but some of you do. You just don't want to give away your age. Willis Reed was the hero of the 1973 NBA Finals. So what made Willis Reed this great hero? And then we looked and we compared those traits that were so special. And we saw Jesus surpasses them in all. If you want a leader, if you want to follow one who's never lost a battle, then, you know, you go with Jesus. You don't go with John Paul Jones. And so we talked for a little while, and I remember dismissing the meeting, and we sang, we taught them the chorus, "God is moving by his Spirit, moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders where God moves. Move, O Lord, in me." And I remember praying that, but I needed, this might sound bad, I needed some outward sign of encouragement that night. And we dismissed, and Nonantham stood as one. I don't know if they planned it. And they just walked out. And the rest of us prayed. And it must have been 5 minutes or so. And one by one, they all came back into that meeting. And they knelt. That night, I had gone to Sister Mary, and I'd borrowed a book from her, a notebook, and some pens. And I wanted the boys, I wanted to, if they truly wanted to give their hearts to Jesus, I wanted them to make note of it, that on that day, 1990 maybe, they gave their hearts to Jesus. And I have that notebook somewhere, probably in a garage under a bunch of boxes. But in that notebook, I have some names, and there it says, "Dennis Lynn, tonight I give my heart to Jesus." Now, Dennis Lynn came to Jesus, and he found Jesus full of compassion. I mean, there was nothing in that boy. I shouldn't say that. I'm sure his parents saw something. No, there was that boy. There was so much horrible sin, and it was a marked change. I mean, all around. We could go on. That week we held our biathlon. He was the favorite. He was supposed to win. He lost, and he lost more than the race. He lost his temper at that beach, and he just kept running. And he ended up in the parking lot, and I found him in the parking lot crying because he had failed God. I mean, there was such a change now that never would have happened. But God is rich. He's full. He's full of compassion, and he's full of love, and he can bear. In Isaiah 42, the servant song, "He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench." I'm so thankful that we can come to Jesus. We can leave all behind. And when we come to him, we find all that we need.